Welcome to the Talking Nutrition Podcast, where twice a week, you'll learn about all things health, fitness, and mindset. I'm your host, Yoel Investors, and it's my goal to simplify nutrition, provide you with actionable strategies, and teach you repeatable systems so you can create real results at last. Now, real quick, you won't find any crazy restrictive diets or quick fixes here, and the stuff that we talk about is basic, easy to apply, and effective. However, the only way to create change is by putting what you learn into action. Now go ahead and grab yourself a coffee, pour me one while you're at it, and let's dive into the episode. What's up and welcome back to the Talking Nutrition Podcast. Again, Pia's back. What's up, Pia? How are you?
I'm good. Perfectly fine. Very happy to be back and talk about nutrition.
Yeah. How are you feeling these days? Because I feel like my energy levels are just like every day almost. It's like up and up, you know, as we have more sunlight and stuff.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the springtime, although when I'm looking outside now, there's like heavy snow, but I can really feel that the days are getting longer. You know, when I pick up my kid at like 4 o'clock, there's still daylight outside, and that's a big thing for us. So I can feel the energy going up day by day.
How good is that? I went hunting again this weekend, and this is my first hunting season. So I've been like excited to go, you know. I went a lot before polar night, and then it was so dark that I couldn't go, obviously. And then since then, I've just been waiting, you know, and now it's actually like good weather again, and I got back from Florida. So yeah, I'm stoked. It's just good to be out in the nature.
What do you do? Like, because I see your Instagram stories, like walking in nature. But, so you're hunting as well. What do? You like grab your gun and say to your girlfriend, like, okay, going out to shoot some animals, and then you do that?
basically, long story short, yeah. Sometimes you also just don't get anything, you know? Sometimes you don't see any. Like, I went on Friday. Friday, I didn't see anything. It was too windy. And the Reaper, which is actually ptarmigan, which is a completely, like, just unrelated to this episode, doesn't matter. I feel like all of Norway is calling them grouse, but it's actually ptarmigan. Which I don't know why that is. I feel like we have a whole country calling a bird the wrong name with the translation, you know? But anyway, that's what I'm hunting. And they like to, like, you know, kind of like cover themselves up in snow sometimes when it's bad weather and stuff to stay warm. Snow is isolating. So if that's the case, if it's bad weather and they're like hiding, like there's no way that you're going to find them, you know?
Okay, but you're still out searching. You're doing your cardio while I'm inside walking on my treadmill with Love Island. You're outside in Tromsø hunting birds.
Yeah, it's minus 15 also. So it was really cold and windy. But you know what though? Like, I like being out in nature. It's something like just, even if it's just hiking or anything out, that's why I'm here. You know, that's why I stayed in Norway. It's like like that stillness, you know, you get to just be there with your own thoughts and your nature. And it's, I don't know, it's great. I love it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And sometimes it's hard for me to prioritize because it's so much easier just to go down in the basement. I have a treadmill in the basement and like get my steps in there. You know, for us that we work from home, we don't have to go far to get coffee or talk to our colleagues. We have to like do the daily activities really on our own with stuff like that. But it's easier to just go down to the basement than go out in nature. But since Christmas, I've had a goal of like at least skiing once a week. And the days I can manage to do that in the daylight, you know, around lunchtime, phone off, just a couple of hours on skiing in nature, it's like priceless. No podcast, no music, no anything, just like movement in nature. It's the best.
It's really good. And I love that you brought that up, like no podcast and stuff. I feel like these days, especially, this is why people don't want to do the meditation and the journaling, etc. It's like, we never get like a moment where we just sit with our own thoughts. You know what I mean? Which is uncomfortable sometimes, you know, when we're working through things, whatever it is. But it's like, stillness is like so like hard to find these days, you know what I mean? Because we have distractions everywhere. It's like, no, we need to make a point of getting our mind kind of like calm in like a reflective state. And I know this kind of sounds maybe like out there or whatever, but it's not, you know what I mean? Like, we build strong bodies, we should build a strong mind as well. But that's actually even like more difficult work. And you can do that by going skiing, going to mountains, put that podcast, you know, that's what even I told myself. I was about to start the hike, you know, on the way up the mountain. And I was I put one earpiece in already to put an audiobook on. I'm like, I'm going to use that time to like learn. I'm like, no, fuck that. You know, I'm going to not do that. I'm going to be still with my own thoughts. And right. Just appreciate being in nature. And it's so key. It's so important.
Yeah. And like set boundaries for yourself, because you're always thinking about everything you should learn, the book you should read or listen to, but somewhere we have to like draw the line. So we're both out in nature. And before we get started on the episode, I'm also wondering, because I'm feeling very proud of myself, because I've also since Christmas been doing every podcast that I do with you. And I have a couple of others that I do. I always stand, which I'm doing now as well. And I think you are as well.
Me too.
Are you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you often like standing when you're working?
Every time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I actually don't have an office chair.
Okay, now I'm not so proud of myself anymore.
No, but like, no, I still think that's great, because it is the difference. Like, you must notice this too. Like, the first, like, when you really make that change, like, you notice, like, your lower back is a little weird, and, you know, like, I catch myself standing, like, wrong sometimes, you know, in, like, a flamingo position, like, on like, one leg and stuff, you know? But, like, no, I think it's great. It's just that, I mean, first of all, I don't have an office chair. And I kind of built my own stand-up little thingy, like, a little while ago. It's gone now, but I have an actual desk, you know? Like, but in the beginning, it's just, like, this self-made, like, wooden thing. But it is good. I feel like I like it a lot better than actually, like, sitting.
Yeah. I have, like, the homemade solution. I'm standing on my kitchen counter with, like, a step kasse. You know what that is?
Yeah.
Like, from the gym, a step. And it's working perfectly. But what's your, like, reasons to stand? Because I'm thinking about the people that's listening. A lot of them are probably sitting during the day. And it's just a habit that they have, but we know that standing up along the day, or just standing all the time, can make a huge difference both for how you feel, but also like your metabolism.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, even like how many calories you burn. Now, I will say that it's not going to be like the thing that's going to move the needle, but it adds up, you know, like it adds up, just how digestion is like 10% if you're, you know, your energy expenditure. It's like people sometimes don't think about those things. But that's not why I do it. I feel like, so I have to think back. I'll say this. So as a kid, I just spent too much time like sitting down, you know, playing video games behind my, you know, desk, and just having bad posture, and, you know, sitting like a shrimp, you know what I mean? And it's like having that good posture. And I've always kind of struggled with that. Or, let me say this, let me just own the situation. I never paid attention to it. That's really what it is, you know? But anyway, I figured, okay, I got to work on that. I know that if I stand and I work on my posture, like, that's going to be good, better for my neck, my back, etc. My hips got super tight at some point, right? So, like, mostly for those reasons. I also believe that as people, we are supposed to mostly stand. Like, we're not really built to sit all the time. Right? Mm-hmm. And like you said, even for people like working in the office, like if you're on a call and you can pace up and down the office, if you're able to or allowed to, whatever, it's going to make a difference. And it's even going to play into proactivity and just productivity as well. That's what I actually meant to say. Productivity. Getting things done. I feel like I get things more, you know, done more effectively when I'm standing.
Mm. I agree. I feel like more alert, and also when I get to the couch by the end of the day, it feels a lot better than if I've been sitting on the couch all day. So yeah, I'm trying to keep it up, not just when I'm podcasting, but a bit more often. Not all the time like you, but okay, maybe a bit more.
I do have to say this. I do sometimes sneak to the kitchen table to sit as well. I will say that.
Uh-huh. So if you had a really bad leg workout, sitting down, maybe with your legs up, that's luxury.
Yeah. Like, I do that sometimes. I need to push myself sometimes not to work, though. So I try not to bring it to, like, the kitchen or something. But sometimes I do like that better. I will say this, too, to kind of, like, wrap this one up. It's like, when I'm writing, I feel better sitting down. especially if that's at a cafe. So then I'll still go on a quick walk, go to a cafe 10 minutes away, do some writing, and then go back and then continue other work, you know.
Okay, so you're not standing at the counter on the cafe writing?
Sometimes I do, actually. Sometimes, actually. There's one where I can have, like, half stand, or it's like a higher, you know, seat or chair. So it depends. Depends on the day.
Okay, yeah, I have a way to go. But now I'm pregnant as well, so I probably won't be standing, like, a whole lot more the next months.
Absolutely. So what Pia and I also wanted to do, to kind of give the listener a bit of a, you know, what the hell are we talking about today? We wanted to do a Q&A episode because we always get a bunch of questions. And what we did, in case you don't know, so I wrote a bunch of articles for PS App, actually two apps, where people almost kind of get a guide of, right, how to dial in your nutrition on your own. So if you're listening and you're Norwegian, highly recommend checking that one out. Which we'll link in the description. But obviously, right, as people are trying to figure out the nutrition by themselves and, you know, they don't have the accountability and the guidance that comes with coaching, there's got to be questions. So we wanted to dive into those. I know last time I said we were going to talk about periodization. That will be in 2 weeks from now. Today is going to be just fully Q&A. So, yeah, that being said, let's just dive in and, like, let's see what we come up with, you know?
Yeah, let's dive into it. And I'm pretty sure that these questions that my people have, it's something like that everybody wonders about sometime in their training career. So I know that this will be valuable for probably everyone listening if you're into nutrition. And the first question is, how big the surplus should be when your goal is to, you know, get stronger and build muscle mass? How many calories?
Hey, what's up? Sorry to interrupt. I promise we'll keep it short. As you already know, we don't do ads here, and I really just do this podcast out of passion for helping everyday people like yourself learn more and get results. Now, because I do this absolutely for free, would it be cool to ask you for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple? You can do it while you're listening. It really just takes a few seconds, and it would actually mean the world to me and help us grow the show and reach more people like you. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode. I would say, because I saw this question too beforehand, and the person actually asked like just about 200 to 300 calories, I would be around there. It kind of depends. Like, let's assume they've been at maintenance and they really kind of know where that is. Let's add like maybe like 250 calories. Because what we want to do is, you know what happens when you add like maybe 20 calories or something or 50? Your body's just going to move a little bit more, right?
Mm.
We always talk about the metabolism. What is that? It's just kind of like your energy regulator. It's almost like you set the thermostat at like 20 degrees. And when the window opens, like it's going to kick in to keep it at 20 degrees, right? It's a little bit like that, to where, okay, we would add a little bit of food, you're probably just going to burn it off. If you lower a little bit of food, you're probably going to move a little bit less. You're not even going to notice. When it comes to starting a surplus, we would just want to make sure that you're out of that maintenance range in an actual surplus, so that you can actually start to see some weight gain, of course slow and controlled. But that's why we do a bigger jump of like 250 calories, to make sure you're actually in a surplus, and then you should be able to kind of, right, stick on that amount for a little while, like at least multiple weeks.
Yeah, and that's like the importance of finding your maintenance first and using a couple of weeks or maybe months to like really figure it out and know that, okay, this is the correct maintenance for me, so that you know what is an adjustment up and what is going down. Because I feel that many of my clients feel like when we're trying to find their maintenance, after like 2 weeks, they feel that they're already there. They feel that they're eating way too much food. I mean, there's so much emotions and feelings that like that mixes into the equation. So yeah, finding your maintenance first, and then, as you're saying, trying to up it about like 200 to 300 calories, and just see what happens with the weight mostly.
Yeah, I will say this, because I do understand, especially because I mean, I've seen a lot of people. I was gonna say most of my female clients, but now that I think about it, actually a lot of dudes as well, just people in general. That jump might already be quite a bit, right? I'm still going to push for that, but if you have a hard time, just break it into two steps. That is also cool, you know? we want to make sure that it's doable. So people also shouldn't feel bad that, you know, they're maybe not able to hit that number right away. Just go with two steps, but also know that, hey, any change is going to be, you're going to have to get used to it. Whether that's eating less, eating more, whatever it is, you're not going to be used to it. So for that reason, your body's going to be like, oh, what the hell? Makes sense?
Yeah. Is there any, before we go to the next question, is there any like big differences between men and women when it comes to your coaching and like something that's very particular for men versus women?
No, some small things like measurements, maybe like dudes don't really care about it. So I always have to push, like I always have to say like, no, I need those measurements. Because guess what? And this is what I do with my coach too. Because my weight's dropped a little, but just in general, my body has recomped. We'll actually talk about recomp a little, quite a bit. So I've been building muscle and losing fat at the same time, which you cannot see on the scale. But when I then look at my arms and my legs, measurements, those are up and my waist is down. So that's why I tell dudes all the time, because as much as they think they don't care about the measurements, having the measurements to actually show them like, hey, that's right, you're progressing, then they get it. You know what I mean? Other than that, I will say in terms of like coaching, not necessarily, because we do all kind of struggle with kind of similar things. Then again, everyone is their own individual, man or female. People struggle with different things mentally, physically. But I will say this, unfortunately, I have way more female clients who have hormonal issues, who come to me, I don't know, doing CrossFit and running 7 times a week, and they've lost their menstrual cycle. They've also been eating 1,000 calories, and just altogether, like their gut health is a mess, and you know, those kind of things. So unfortunately, and I think this ties back to kind of like society's kind of pressure on females to be skinny and to do all the diets and all that. I see a lot of issues with women, gut health, hormones, menstrual cycle laws, autoimmune disease, you know, thyroid conditions and all that. Like it happens in men, but unfortunately I see that a lot with our females. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I've been reading a lot of Stacey Sims and her research and also her book. Have you heard about her?
Yeah. I'll look her up.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting more and more real to me how different women are for men, like not totally, but pretty different. And also how research really prioritizes men, and the advice that we give to men, we give the same advice as to women, which is not necessarily wrong, but it's not right either. In addition to that, I just feel that a lot of girls are just... Yeah, a lot of things have gone wrong and you end up in like a sort of situation that you're describing, but it's hard to get out of it because you have like, you've made up so many rules and habits that you're just almost like a slave to them. And it's hard to like see yourself from the outside.
Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of like the tools and the strategies and those kind of things, they don't necessarily change a lot, but the problems I see are definitely slightly different with females and slightly more, unfortunately, which is, it's unfair too, you know what I mean? Like sometimes you see, you know, a dude just eats more, a little bit more protein, they cut a few calories, they start eating some veggies and they just drop a whole bunch of weight.
Yeah.
And then we have a lady here who's really doing her best and absolutely just like nailing their macros, and right? And their body's just not responding.
But which, why in that case, is like, that?
Like chronic dieting, for example, because so I'm going to use my client here as an example to paint a picture, because like I said, under eating, right? A lot of exercise, because that's what you've been hearing for ages, right? Just move more, just do more cardio and eat less. And so like, when is eating less going to stop? You know what I mean? So this specific person, won't name her name, but like she comes to me doing CrossFit 5 times a week, sometimes doing running at like long distance, right? And CrossFit on the same day. And then also on the non-CrossFit days, running, eating 1,000 calories, right? Gut issues, hair loss, no menstrual cycle. That's a problem, right? So very first thing we did, and I'm not going to break this down like super in depth, but like bump those calories up. We tried to get her to maintenance as soon as possible. I also said, hey, I know you love to move, But right now we're going to have 2 full rest days. We got to take the stress off the body, right? You need to recover. You're not recovering. You're just always pushing that stress, you know, that fight or flight state. It's like, we're just not in a good spot. You have no menstrual cycle, right? Hair loss, just all these kind of things. All red flags, right? The body is telling you, like, hey, something's up. Because why would the body, right, just kind of just be like, oh, sex hormones, we don't need those, right? Menstrual cycle, like, let's not worry about ovulation. Why would that be? Well, it kind of makes sense if you think about it from, like, an evolutionary standpoint. What does the body want to do? Reproduce, right? And survive. That's what our body is supposed to do in a way. So that's biology, right? That's how animal species like survive. If you're not getting enough calories and nutrients, etc., to even just make one body work, right? Why would those sex hormones be a priority? Kind of going back to men, for example, this is where you see low testosterone. Why is that? Right? Not eating enough protein, not having a lot of muscle, not moving, right? A lot of body fat. So what did we do? Eating more. Was it easy? Hell no. It was a lot of work, right? But guess what happened? We did it step by step. In her case, we couldn't just bump her to maintenance. She came from like chronic dieting, took a very long time. This is also where we need to understand the differences, but it was step by step. And as we brought those calories back up, right, her weight started to drop. And it would just keep dropping. And we kept adding more food step by step because it was difficult for her to eat more. Her weight kept dropping. Why? Because her metabolism was kicking back in, right? So now we're adding good foods. And, right, months down the road, menstrual cycle comes back, right? We see kind of like hair regrowing. Some, you know, there's way less stress. She's building some muscle. She's 53, right? She's now getting compliments on like the amount of muscle mass she's building, right? She just started lifting weights like half a year ago. Yeah, how cool is that? But she just started lifting weights half a year ago. She's 53. She's now seeing those changes, right? And I totally just kind of just went on like a rant here or a tangent, but like...
I told you to. I was interested.
Yeah. No, but like... A lot of these issues that, like, let me just make this long story short. A lot of these issues that we see, hormonal, gut, etc., autoimmune, right? A lot of inflammation and stuff. It's going to go back to eating enough, not constantly dieting all the time, not restricting, but adding more foods, micronutrients, macronutrients, managing stress, not exercising 7 times a week. And with those things, I see that a lot more with females, like I said, unfortunately. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure on women.
It is, and that exactly what we're talking about now is why I feel it hard. It's hard to communicate nutrition to especially women, because yes, it's about energy in, energy out, but at the same time, there's so much more going into this. And for a lot of women and girls, it's about adding in food so that you can lose fat and build muscle. And also, to understand the differences and the nuances and to communicate it, it's hard. But that's why I'm working with you, obviously. And I am so glad that we're talking about this so that more women like comprehend what this is about and maybe can like think about how they're solving things for their own. Because, of course, the biggest problem on a national level is that people are eating too much and moving too little. But my experience is that the people that I meet and the people I work with often like... have it the other way around, like you described, like too little food over long periods of time, in addition to a lot of stress, whether it's training or having children, working, trying to train as much as possible. Yeah, you know the drill.
Yeah. I feel like just that topic should be like a full episode, because there's so much wrong with, you know, the unhelpful information that females are getting and the diets and, right? But let's go to the next questions and then we'll follow up on that at some point.
Yeah, let's hope that we're starting a good trend for the women in
yes,
not only Norway but in the world. Okay, when the goal is to increase your strength and muscle mass, is it okay if the surplus is coming from fat rather than carbs? Like, how important is it that when you have your proteins set, that the surplus is coming from carbs? Can they also come from fat?
Good question. I get this a lot because, yes, it is easier to get more calories in from fats. It's more than double compared to protein and carbs. Less filling. However, here's how I want you to think. I want you to think in order of kind of like protein, carbs, and then fats. Let's start with protein. If you're at that like 2.2 grams per kilo body weight, like you're kind of good. However, you're free to go a little bit higher. I'm going to say this, like, you don't have to go that high. It's just that what I've seen in, right, actually like working with people, I've seen that work pretty good. As well as with myself, right? That's where we usually see, because we're having a question coming up soon with muscle gain and fat loss. That's where usually we see the most kind of recomp happen, when we see a higher protein intake. But okay, let's imagine we're just going to keep there, because we are good with like a 2.2 grams per kilo of body weight. Protein does not really get stored as body fat. Technically we could, but it's just a lot of work for the body, and it almost like doesn't make sense. There's even like protein overfeeding studies where they put people on like 300 plus grams per day, right? 300-400, which is insane amount. You would not be able to get that from just real food, right? But these people, they were in a surplus, but they didn't gain body fat. They just got very hot, and they were very full, of course, but which is kind of crazy if you think about it. So that being said, I don't like to speak in absolutes and without going too in depth here, because we have a bunch of questions to cover. It does not seem that protein really gets stored as body fat as much. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but again, we have a lot of studies to show that even with overfeeding, right, it was actually okay. Carbohydrate. That is going to play into your performance. That's going to play into recovery. We just talked about stress management, right? When you eat carbs, and this is always demonized, but when you spike insulin after eating carbs, that's just a normal response. We don't want to see like this all the time, but that's how your body, like that's how it works, right? Also, assuming here the person is in a calorie surplus to build muscle, they're already at a healthier body fat percentage, right? Carbohydrate, when you spike insulin, that's going to blunt cortisol, which is that stress hormone. Since a lot of people are very stressed, I do kind of like sometimes, right, to push those carbs, kind of depending on the person. Also, right, we see a lot of cardio, a lot of working out. Okay, let's push those carbs because that's your fuel. Carbs are also very difficult to store as body fat. And actually, most of our body fat comes from dietary fats, because your body is going to prioritize burning carbohydrate for fuel. And then if you are in a surplus, usually, right, if there are some fats kind of like left, that will be stored as body fat. Now, I will say this. I don't want people to be afraid of eating more fats. Absolutely not. Especially in the beginning, sometimes I'll push for a little bit of both, right? Yes, we can also go higher in fats. But I would always like to see the fats being relatively lower, kind of close to that minimum that you need for your health, your hormones, and then pushing carbs up to a point where, hey, maybe you really have a hard time with eating more. Sure, let's have a little bit more fats. Still respecting just the fact that we know that fats out of the three macronutrients are going to be stored as body fat most easily, which is what we don't want to do, right? So that's why I do want to play it safe. I do like either way being in a slight surplus so that you gain mostly muscle anyway. But what I've seen work in practice, again, is the higher carb approach for these kind of phases. And then as we maybe go to maintenance, kind of depending on activity, sure, like let's have some more fats. Or if someone is sedentary, we can definitely have way more fats. But if it's, you know, muscle gain, I would go for higher carbs. Speaking to the fact that it's difficult to eat more, that is true. But it's also something to work towards, because that is difficult doesn't have to mean that we cannot get to a point where we can still get to it. Mm. It's just how when you're dieting, like you are going to be a little bit hungry. We're going to make sure that you're not going to be starving all the time, but it will show up. Only at maintenance will we really kind of, or should we really feel like, oh, you know, I'm kind of good. Not too full, not too hungry, right? That's maintenance. Mm.
Does that change? So now we were talking about gaining strength and muscle mass. So I remember, like, what you're saying now was what you told me when I was in this phase. can you at any time think differently about carbs and fats? Like, when is the time to up the fats and lower the carbs? When is that okay? I'm asking for like people who maybe prefer eating more fats and protein.
I think that's a really good question. I'm very happy that you asked me that one, because personal preference is really big. And we always talk about sustainability and all that. I will say this, okay, if we're talking sustainability and kind of maintaining your healthy habits and stuff, that's going to, again, be at maintenance. These phases are temporary, right? A muscle gain phase is going to be a couple months. A fat loss phase is going to be a couple months. However, here's the thing. If I see someone, and they always do that food diary for me, right? If I see someone come to me with a very high fat intake, which honestly is one of the reasons we do the food diary, it tells me about their personal preference, which I always want to take in consideration. Sometimes we'll maybe, you know, still transition, kind of depending on their goals, but I still think that personal preference is going to be very important, making things sustainable, even in like a fat loss or muscle gain phase. Because here's the thing, like if you absolutely just kind of like hate your diet, it will play into kind of like your mindset around it. And, you know, so depending on the season, I'll still kind of, you know, allow people to personalize stuff, and I will adjust their targets based off of that. Still knowing that, hey, we have what's optimal, we have what we would love to do, and then there's probably like a middle ground where we can kind of meet in the middle and say, okay, you know, we know what's optimal, we know what you want, let's maybe make a few kind of like trade-offs here to find that kind of like sweet spot for you. Make sense?
Sounds like you're not a fan of fats.
No, I think they're great. They're super important. I actually like, you know, especially maintenance and healthy fats are super key. And I've actually seen a lot of people struggle getting enough healthy fats in. So I'm definitely pushing for them as well. So this is where like nutrition is a very nuanced kind of like conversation, and we can't have one answer for everyone, because it's always like it depends. No, but absolutely, you want to have your healthy fats, right? You want to get your nuts and seeds, your avocado, your extra virgin olive oil. So yes, absolutely, like include them.
Yeah, people, I think we're just so used to following like the low carb diet, only doing protein and fats. It's often about like cutting out things completely. So when we're talking about having a balanced diet, a bit of everything, it's sort of like, it's a bit new to people, and it's easier to just cut something out. But we're telling you that you need everything, but in like different dimensions. And it's maybe a bit harder, but that's like what works in the long run, if you ask us.
I need to make one side note here as well. Sorry. There's a difference between eating for body composition and for health. Performance, body composition, health. You can see it as a triangle, basically. It's going to require different approaches. When you're fueling for performance, when you're you're eating for a specific body composition, as much as I, in my coaching practice, I like to still go for that health, right, approach. And I want people to be healthy. And that's absolutely our end goal. Also, in that moment, you got to eat your veggies. You got to get your fruits. But, like, technically, eating for health requires a different approach than the fat loss, the muscle gain, as well as the performance. Speaking to what you asked me with the fats, when we're specifically talking, right, health, maintaining, I would go with a balanced carb fat ratio, stay there, have lots of healthy fats, because absolutely we should get those. And that's understanding periodization, which we'll talk about next time. That is also where we need to make those changes in macronutrients. And understand, hey, there's different seasons. All right, that's it for today. As a thank you for sticking around, I'd love to send you a free copy of my ebook, The Definitive Fat Loss Nutrition Guide. Honestly, if you like the podcast, I'm sure you'll love the ebook. So if you want it, all you need to do is either click the link in the show notes or DM me on Instagram at johanvesters_OCS, and I'll personally send it to you. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. I'll talk to you soon.